I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay. I think you can hear me now. I just asked that same question about a quorum and had the wrong microphone selected. So, welcome everyone. Let's go ahead and get started. I'll call the meeting to order for our Share Executive Council meeting today. Can I get a roll call, please?
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Atta Bird.
Here.
Danielle Cornelius.
Here.
Esther Curry. Jenner Dower.
Here.
Emily Enderly.
Here.
Hope Caston. Donna Shaw.
Here.
Miranda Shake.
Here.
Dawn Taylor. Kyla Waltermeyer.
Here.
And Carol Zeese. Okay. Oh, and I see Esther just popped in. Okay, thanks, Esther.
Sorry, I was late.
No problem. Okay, so we'll start with the approval of minutes from the December 1st, 2022 meeting. Did everybody have a chance to take a look at those?
This is Miranda. I can motion.
Do I have a second?
This is Esther. I'll second it.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call vote. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry, was my mic not? Yeah.
Okay. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderly?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I am so sorry that I forgot to send the approval of the members group meeting. So what we'll do is we'll table that until our next meeting. I'll make sure to send those out today. So first up, we have new business, the financial approval procedures. Did everybody receive those? Okay, I see a couple head shakes. And so with that, when we were going over some of our governance documents, there was some question on the language. So we actually went to Phil Lanzini, our attorney, to review that. And so as we were going through those governance documents, he had asked if we had procedures in place for our financial approvals for our budget. And so we kind of took him through what we do, and he said, that's fine, but you really need that written down. And I agree, because when I came in, we do it a little bit differently than we have in the past. I think that previously it had been done through the IHLS finance department, and then it was sent to the Board of Trustees, so there wasn't a lot of input from the share finance and policy committee or the executive council. And so we drafted those. He took a look at them and approved those. And so the sheriff finance and policy committee has seen those and have made a recommendation to accept them. So I just need a motion and a second if you all would like to also approve those as procedure, just our business procedures.
I'll make the motion to approve the financial procedures.
Thanks, Ada.
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call vote. Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Ada Bird.
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius.
Yes.
Esther Curry.
Yes.
Jenna Dower.
Yes.
Emily Enderly.
Yes.
Donna Shaw.
Yes, sorry, I lost my mute.
No problem. Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Okay, then we can go ahead and move forward. I have very good news. We got a quorum for our vote from the members group meeting, and so all initiatives were approved. Let me go ahead and share my screen, and I can kind of show you where we were at. Let's see. Well, maybe. Oh, here it is. I think I have too many windows up. I'm so sorry. Can everybody see that? So we had a total of 178 votes. We had to actually remove two simply because one was not a share member and one was a duplicate. So that brought us to 176. And so governance changes passed by a very wide margin. The cataloging was a unanimous vote to agree to change from the adapter to the original author or creator. And that was just cataloging libraries that voted on that. And then there was a section to change the to a barcoding certification requirement and refresher training. That was a little bit more mixed, but it still was a majority vote yes. And then the things that went along with that, with a new form and a new problem resolution, including that, also passed with a yes. The last one was Aspen. Again, we had a couple people that voted no, but the majority voted yes. And again, that's for specifically just for libraries that want it. Does anybody have any questions on those? Okay. So could I get...
Cassandra, this is Donna. So the ones that voted the majority yes on Aspen, does that mean then that you're going to move forward? And it was what, 166 said yes to that?
Well, that was just that we are moving forward with share. That does not mean that they signed up for it, just that we adding this product.
But that was the questionnaire that asked if we could afford it, what we would be willing to pay, right?
No, this was specific to the vote. So it's that's not that they were signing up for it, just that they agree that Share could partner with Aspen for the libraries that did want it.
Okay, thank you for reminding me. Sorry.
Sure. Okay, so can I get a motion and a second to accept the results of the membership vote?
This is Emily Enderly. I'll make that motion.
This is Esther. I'll second.
Okay, let's do another roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderly?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Okay. Next up, we have Scott Air Force Base membership, and Emily is actually here with us. Emily, would you kind of like to give us an introduction to what you're experiencing with your ILS migration, and then I can take it from there on the recommendation?
Okay. So the military libraries, all the different branches, the leadership got together, and they said, wouldn't it be a great idea if we had a consortium? And of course, the consortium is a great idea, but we are the one library in the Air Force libraries that already has a fantastic consortium, and because we're with you guys. So we're trying to do a limited membership. We have no choice but to go with the military consortium. That's not in our power to say no, but we're hoping to still have a limited membership with IHLS, so that we can still offer our patrons the fantastic courier system and interlibrary loans.
Okay, thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate that. So I've talked to Emily and actually even her predecessor. They've known that this has been coming for several years now, and I think there was always maybe a hope that they'd change their mind. and so we have discussed what that might look like. So the ILS that they will be using for circulation will be this new product. What they are looking for is still an option to do interlibrary loan through Share, and they would also be willing to share books out to other member libraries. With that, I've discussed this with the Share Finance and Policy Committee, making a recommendation that we allow Scott Air Force Base a limited membership for interlibrary loans. So one of the things that Emily was very concerned about. She didn't want to be an affiliate where we would give Scott Air Force Base an institutional account. She actually wants her patrons to be able to go in and place holds and pick them up at Scott Air Force Base. So they technically would still be considered a branch of in our Polaris settings, every library is considered a branch. So it still would be one of our locations. However, their circulation processes will be done on the new ILS. The good thing is all of the patron cards, numbers and passwords will be the same. So they can still use their card and password in the Polaris system. It's going to be an extra layer of difficulty for Emily and her staff simply because she's going to have to add patrons into both systems. She'll still have to do barcoding and cataloging in both systems, but she thinks that this is going to be valuable enough for her customers that she still wants to do that. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, I just wanted to tack on that. We have a very large homeschooling population here, and we do, I think we get about 300 books from the ILL courier per week, and we send out about 200. So that's just way too many interlibrary loans for our staff to have to facilitate each one, which is why we were trying to go for this option.
Yeah. So in our governance for membership, we do have an option that it says that prison libraries and special libraries will be considered on a case-by-case basis because of their uniqueness. So when I discussed this with finance and policy, the proposal was to have them have membership at the minimum level, what other special libraries would pay versus that algorithm. So since it's only on a limited use basis, but they would still retain full membership even though they're not using the circulation features. And so discussing with Emily, she thinks that that would be feasible because they do have a limited local budget that doesn't necessarily go through the Air Force, I don't know what to call it, but the financial appropriation process, I guess you could say. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right, but so that would be feasible for them. And so the Finance and Policy Committee did make a recommendation to approve that, and it just needs to go to you guys for approval as well. So does anybody, before we talk about a motion, does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. So Emily, I think for this one, it might be a good idea for you to abstain just because it obviously affects you directly. But does anybody want to make a motion to approve that person? Oh, and I'm so sorry. I did say, I forgot the one part of it. The Finance and Policy Committee did say that it would be for a 1 year, and then we'd review again next year to make sure just everything is going as expected. And so we can make changes if needed. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve that recommendation?
This is Donna. Also move that.
This is Esther. I'll second it.
Thanks, Esther. Okay, we'll do another roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderly?
Oh, yes.
And can I put you down maybe to abstain for this one?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay. Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Okay, great. And Emily, I know we have talked about we're going to do a meeting to discuss all of the back-end settings and some things that we need to do for the migration. And I am so sorry I haven't set that up with you, but I have not forgot about you. So we will do that soon.
That's okay. Can I just say a quick thank you to everybody? This is huge news for my library.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for bringing this to us, Emily. I'm really glad that we were able to work with you and still make this available to you and your community, because I know it's, you know, it's really important for them to have access. So yeah, thank you. So I do have The next item of business is our April budget review meeting. And so we try to get that into the schedule after the Board of Trustees Financial Committee for IHLS reviews the initial draft, but before it goes to the full board. So it's kind of a really quick turnaround. And so, let's see, the proposed date, I'm going through here, I'm so sorry. I think we had it proposed on the 12th, but let me go back to my notes. I'm so sorry, I don't see it right here in front of me. Okay, so yes, April the 12th. So that actually is a Wednesday. Would that work for everyone?
That works for me. This is Emily.
I'm sorry, can you say that date again?
Wednesday, April 12th.
At 2:00?
At 2:00. Mm-hmm.
Works for me.
Yeah.
How long do those meetings usually last? I do have a meeting at 3:00.
It shouldn't go longer than an hour.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sure.
You should be able to make that work.
Okay. Is anybody just can't make that meeting?
I wouldn't be able to.
Okay. There is another option. Let me see. Thursday, April the 20th. Also at 2 p.m., would that work better?
I am available for that, but of course, if the other date is better for the group, then go with that.
I'm available that day. It's a busy day, but I should be done with things by then.
Is there anybody that's not available on the 20th?
Did we invite the rest of Finance Committee to that? Mm-hmm. And we haven't asked them yet.
We did. I think we did. We had talked about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't remember that. And I don't have any notes, but then again, who knows what I was doing.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. So
I just wonder, yeah, if we should check with Jill and the rest of the group before we make a decision.
Okay. We had mentioned that we were bringing it to the Executive Council to review dates with them. We had kind of just briefly checked to see if anybody had any like extreme barriers to coming, but there was no consensus.
Well, you're better than me.
Well, what I'll do is let's go ahead and tentatively plan for April 20th, 2023 at 2 p.m. And if for any reason that does not work, we can kind of go back and do maybe a doodle poll or revise that. So one of the other questions is we do have an Executive Council meeting on April 6th. In the past, generally what we have done is have canceled that meeting and just done the budget review that month. And so if there's any items of business that need to be addressed, you know, we can take care of it during that meeting, but it would be an abbreviated meeting. Would that work for everyone, or do you want to go ahead and leave the April 6th date on the calendar?
I'm going to be out of town on April 6th. That's the middle of spring break, so I don't know how
good point.
Everybody, at least our spring break. Okay. So
I'm fine combining it all into that one meeting later in April.
Okay. Well, let's plan on April 20th at 2 p.m. And if there's any conflict, I will let everyone know and we'll find another date and time, okay? And then we'll just plan to cancel the April 6th meeting. Okay, does anybody have any other new business that I might have missed? Okay. Old business is the affiliate expansion. Did everybody see the proposal for that program? So we started talking about this as we were doing some work with the Rails community for some of their LSAPs that were identified as having some challenges that could, that might need to revise their business model. And so we were really glad that we were invited to that meeting because we kind of got to show off a little bit how well we do things over here at Share. And so there were some comments about how, you know, some libraries maybe just can't afford to belong to a consortium, and so maybe they should participate in a different program that is called the Find More Illinois program. That's an interlibrary loan facilitation program through Rails, but it doesn't offer, you know, the integrated library system and all of the types of services and programs that we offer. And when we heard that, we were, you know, I've said before, my feelings were hurt. Everybody should be able to have access to good technology. And so as we were discussing it, it was part of discussions if we could assist some of those other LSAPs, the library, local library automation service project, something like that, the other consortia here in Illinois. And when we did that, they decided to go in a different direction, but we also started to think about what our values were and that we think that everybody should have access to good technology. And so we started brainstorming how we can actually facilitate that for IHLS members that don't participate in Share. One of the barriers that we have identified for schools specifically is the implementation costs. They're rather high, and it's also a lot of times maybe our school librarians would really love to join Share, but it's convincing their administration. And so with that, we started brainstorming what that might look like. And so there were a couple of different models that we had considered, but the Share Finance and Policy Committee worked with me to create this proposal for an affiliate expansion. And it's almost like a free trial where we would use the affiliate status to offer institutional memberships, like we were kind of talking about with Emily, the path we did not go down with Scott Air Force Base of offering an institutional card that they can use to facilitate interlibrary loan to their schools. That actually also came about because we have one of our standalones specifically that requests a lot of interlibrary loan, but almost always gets pushback because people don't know how to handle the ALA interlibrary loan request forms, because if they don't have a Share account, what are you supposed to do? If they don't frequently use OCLC or another type of interlibrary loan, they don't do it often enough to really know about it. And so we started thinking about how we could facilitate that. And so the decision was to have this affiliate expansion for a 3-year trial period. And so as we're starting to think about implementation, that would start in the 23-24 school year. And so for 3 years, they would have access to the Share database for interlibrary loan. So it will be a program that would be limited, and so they can apply for that. The big part of it is we're constantly searching for funding opportunities, and so they would also be given first preference for any type of grant that we might receive. And so at the last meeting we had talked about it. I do now have an application that I'd love to show everyone. And so I think we're just ready to make a decision if we want to try this as a pilot program to encourage membership within Share. And so let me go ahead and pull up the application. Okay, can everybody see that? So this is just a brief description. When we send this out, we will have more communications going out explaining the program. But then we just ask for the information, and then we get down to the confirmation questions that you understand it's limited to 3 years, that you'll be expected to provide reports and to promote this to your administration, and that grant funding you would receive first preference, but it's not guaranteed. And then also, in addition, so that would be for the transition fees, but not an annual membership fee. So I know that the Finance and Policy Committee has reviewed this through several different meetings. Did anybody have any questions or suggestions for this proposal?
Hi, this is Donna. My biggest concern is about lost books and things that we might provide for them, that if their administration is not willing to reimburse the libraries that have given them something, I think that needs to be a statement on here that they are actually agreeing to do that. 3 years is a long time. I definitely want to promote people coming on board with us and everything. It's a great idea for a pilot program, but you know, they're getting a lot of the benefit of being members without the actual reciprocal benefit of sending their stuff to us. So if they lose my manga, which my manga goes out to a lot of school districts, although it's not that pricey, it's still, you know, I want it back.
Right. Absolutely.
And I hate to say that I'm being kind of witchy about it, but I've been stuck before where school districts are like, well, I can't get that check through my administration and stuff like that. So I think they need to have some official statement that they agree.
That's a great point, Donna. I will be happy to include that. That's not a share policy and procedure. It's actually an LNET code that libraries are required to follow. Absolutely. Just by state, you know, state statute. But I will make sure that that's included so they have signed off that they understand that that's how it works. It might be a good idea to also even include that you'll follow share policies and procedures as well. Did anybody else have any thoughts or comments on this?
I think it might help to put what the cost would be for the annual membership fee. You know, it doesn't have to be on here, but I'm thinking, say I had to, you know, go show this to administration or whatever as I'm printing it out. It's just sometimes easier if there's a fact sheet that can go with it. To, you know, if I'm giving that to someone and saying, here's this, here's why we need it, this is what it's going to cost you, please and thank you, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure. And that's a great idea.
Be actually a value added thing where for 3 years, you're going to get this for nothing, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's a value added thing, in my opinion.
Right. And then we can, you know, try it out and see if we want to join, you know, at this time. And, you know, here's how I'll do, you know, and I would say in general too, like having been a school librarian like a few years ago in a small rural district, like when I worked in Paxton, luckily, you know, LODA, I remember looking into this stuff and thinking, you know, I wish I could get interlibrary loan. The small library in the town even had such few stuff, that, you know, small library for students. And just being so overwhelmed by the thought of me having to get these funding, which I would never be able to get, and doing all this stuff on my own. So I love, love, love this. I'm just, you know, trying to think about those people like me that'd be like, I like the idea, but there's one of me. And I don't know how I get books on the shelf some days because I bribe kids with candy. But
yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I'll be happy to. We have all of our financial information on the SHARE website, so I'll include a link to that so people can see what it would cost. And I might put like a range that it usually starts at such and such amount, but then for full information, because it's tied to your numbers of enrollment. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you.
I have a question, and I probably should already know this, but is this only for public schools? Can charter schools and private schools do this as well?
I don't think we're limiting it to public schools. I think that charter or private schools could also participate in this program.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Okay. One of the great things about this is if we get a significant response to this program, we can also use that as we go for grants. That we have 20 libraries that are interested in this program that just need the help with that first initial cost. And so I think that that could be really helpful as well. So, okay, well, do we want to make a motion to approve the recommendation to move forward with the affiliate expansion for schools?
I'll make a motion to approve the affiliate expansion program for schools.
This is Esther, I'll second.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Atta Bird?
Yes.
Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Esther Curry?
Yes.
Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Emily Enderly?
Yes.
Donna Shaw?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you all. I appreciate that. Do we have any other old business that anybody would like to discuss? Okay, then I will go ahead and turn this over to Ellen Poppett for the IHLS system report.
I'm here. Hi, everybody. It's good to see all of you today. And my report is very calendar-based for you, but with a lot of opportunities for some pretty reasonably cost continuing education networking events. The first thing that's coming up is in February. The newly reformed ILA legislative meetups. The way ILA is going to tackle it this year, because we don't have any big legislative asks, is that there's going to be a training on February 22nd, an online training for those who participate to talk about how we best advocate with our local legislators. On the 27th, there's going to be an online legislative meetup, no cost to participate. And what ILA is doing, which I think is really pretty brilliant on their part, is they're inviting new legislators to this event, not just everybody in the world, but new legislators to this event. And they're going to do a library 101 for these people and talk to the libraries, to the legislators, I'm sorry, about what libraries do and the impact that libraries have in their communities. And then they're asking people who participate in the meetups or the advocacy training to go and make a local visit. So this is sort of a new twist on what ILA has been doing very successfully for a number of years. And that those links are on ILA's website to register for those. On March 16th and 17th, the Illinois Youth Services Institute is going to be held in Bloomington, I believe at their conference center in Bloomington, the Marriott Conference Center. This is a really affordable two-day training for people in youth services, school and public people, to gather. It hasn't been held since maybe 2018, because they used to do it every other year and COVID put a big wrench in all that. So we're looking forward to bringing that back. And then drum roll, on April 14th, Reaching Forward South will be held at the O'Fallon Conference Center. I looked at the website for Reaching Forward South, which is a lot of training for frontline staff and all public library staff. There are so many of our colleagues from IHLS participating on that committee. We really need to get there, put our feet to the ground and get there to support our colleagues. It's going to be a great day. It's a pretty easy drive for most of us, so that's something to look forward to. The other things that are coming up is in April, there will be a consolidated election on April 4th. And we were advised in the fall when all things were popping up about book challenges and challenges to library programs and things like that, that one thing to pay close attention to is those spring elections and see who is running. So I think for all of us, that's good advice, and we should get out there and vote. We should support good library supporters, and we just recently saw an ad where people were being very political about what they wanted to see at their local library. So it's time for all of us to be active. You all know, because you've all been nagged probably in one way or the other, that we're in the throes of certification and the Interlibrary Loan Traffic Survey. I hear Dina right next to me walking people through their reports every day. Leah and I are working with the rest of the libraries to remind them to get that done. So we'll keep nagging you until about the 31st of March. Anna and Leanne Furby are making great strides on the trustee training grant. And we're really, I saw a sneak peek today and it looks great and exciting. And then we have several staff members over the next three Fridays, I believe, going on field trips with colleagues, with library colleagues, to look at automatic materials handlers. So there's lots happening. And I will say, too, that, you know, it's February, right? So we're already, system staff is already planning our operational plan and our budget. We're starting that process for the upcoming fiscal year. So that's what I have. Anybody have any questions for me? Okay, thank you.
Wait, I do have a question. Okay. This is Emily from Scott Air Force Base. I just didn't catch, I was trying to write down what you were saying and I missed something. The youth services two-day conference, was that in Bloomington?
It is.
And what were the dates?
March 16th and 17th. It's a Thursday and a Friday.
Perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much, Ellen. Okay, well, if we don't have any questions, we'll go ahead and move on to the SHARE staff update. Again, the big news is Aspen, and we have received 35 libraries so far that are interested in participating. The message that I have been sending out is that the original communication had been that we need 25 libraries at $2,500 in order to move forward, or equivalent. And so I've been really reiterating that if your library cannot afford that, if you could only afford $250, then please go ahead and still sign up, because we're trying to make it as affordable as possible. And once we have those reservations completed, then we will be able to give you exact pricing. And so with that, I'm basically asking people, how much can your library afford? Because you have so much of a better idea of your budget than I do. Schools are a little bit easier. They're just $250 per district. And so that's a pretty simple price. So with that, I've been also going out to, I was at MEPL, which is the Metro East Networking Group. I've been to medium pubs. I'm going out to small library pubs next week just to talk about it a little bit more. And so if anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy to answer those. If somebody wants to, you know, just make a time to chat, I'm happy to do that too. And we also got some really great questions in the course of this. And so we'll be putting those out. We're going to send out another email blast about Aspen, and we'll be putting it in our newsletter, some of those questions that we've been getting that have been really helpful just to understand how Aspen works. So that was for Aspen. I also wanted to mention that we have been working on the Kit and Caboodle program, and I'm hoping in the next few weeks we'll be releasing some of the McNaughton titles for our book clubs that will go into the Kit and Caboodle program. So if you have kits that you want to include in this program, or if you would like to build a kit, you're more than welcome to do that. It is a way to help facilitate programming for our libraries. So it's a really neat program, and I hope you all find it valuable. McNaughton will be opening up again beginning July of 2023. So it's a one-year contract. And so if anybody is interested in that, all of the information can be found on the SHARE website. I also know that Ada is probably familiar with some of the changes to our security for like our database integrity. So I'm going to turn it over to Dina because we have been making changes specific to schools. And so Dina can explain, we will be talking about this probably at our next meeting for a firm proposal on login security, but Dina can talk about how we're correcting some, I'm trying to think of how, I'm so sorry, it's the end of the day.
We've been having issues is what I would call them.
Well, and we are working to get that corrected, Ada. And so one of the issues is the school libraries should only have access to their school, not the entire database. So I'll let Dina talk about that proposal for who should have access to Polaris.
Good afternoon. I hope everyone can hear me okay. I'm having earbud problems today. We started this a couple months ago, and I don't know if some of you may know this, some of you may not. My first day on this job was the day that the pandemic started a couple of years ago. So I started in the morning. That afternoon, that's when the governor said, pack up your stuff. Y'all need to work from home for 2 weeks to, you know, flatten this curve. So my training in this role was a little bit different than what my predecessors had. One of the things that was not relayed to me was permissions for school staff. So we have been going back and correcting those permissions for school staff. Meaning currently, well, as of from last week, school staff had the exact same permissions that a public library employee had. So you could type in a search John Smith and you would see everyone in the entire database instead of just what was at their school. This included, they could see, you know, just a wide variety of things. And due to security issues, we just went back and just recorrected those permissions. Permissions are they have a life of their own. I'll leave it at that. They can be very sensitive and it takes a lot of tweaking on our end. I have spent this afternoon tweaking them. We are Decatur schools, since they are so large, I think there's 14 or 15 buildings. I think we have a resolution. So just hang with us, just be patient with us. So hopefully the next day or so, cause I'm going to be out of the office tomorrow. I'm going on the tour to see an automatic material handler tomorrow. So, I'm hoping to get some of that going this afternoon. So basically, if you're we'll take Decatur schools out of the picture. If you are like, let's say Vandalia High School, and your login is associated with Vandalia High School, and you do a patron search, you're only going to see students at Vandalia High School. You're not going to see the students at Vandalia Grade School or Vandalia Junior High. Some school districts, that is an issue. Some school districts, it's not an issue at all. So we're working on that. And basically, I think I have it lined out. So if you are a school librarian and you do need access to multiple schools, I can make that happen. But we are working on a proposal. And I think we decided it was going to be a policy, not a best practice. Because there's a couple of schools that rely heavily on student workers. And I came across the permission issue because one of the schools that rely heavily on those student workers is a junior high. So a junior high school student just most likely, I'm sure they are great kids, but do they have the maturity to not go in there and, oh, I'm gonna see what my best friend his mom has checked out. They were able to do that. So now they cannot. They cannot pull up, you know, anybody's, you know, they can't pull up my record to see what I have checked out. They can only do what's at their school. So just getting things organized, getting things lined out. It is still a work in progress. So I do appreciate the school's patience with us as we muddle our way through this, but I think in my mind, it's all worked out. I just have to make it work in the database.
And we're getting there. And just to expound on that for just a moment, this was not just student workers in schools. It was also trustee. People would call in and ask for logins for board of trustees and volunteers. And so mm-hmm. we really think that that should be restricted as well. And so we are working on a more formal policy so we can be the bad guys. Like your director, they go to their director saying, well, I need a Polaris login. Well, let me call Dina. And Dina says, oh, no, no, no. You're a board of trustee. You're not doing the day-to-day management of that library. So we have this handy policy that says that only staff members and volunteers get permissions. And so we're working on the wording on that. So again, at the next meeting, we'll probably have a more formal policy for you all.
Yeah, so we're getting there. It's a work in progress because we've never had a policy like this before. So we're building it from scratch. And that, yep. you know, just taking all the factors into account can sometimes be a little challenging, but we are 99% good with what we have right now.
Right. Yeah. We've been having issues like with staff members. So we'll have people that, well, they work in my building one day a week. They work in someone else's building another day. They start here but they're patrons for all of us. And we would like to see what they, you know, have out. And then when we get those kids from another school, oh, you owe them this book. No, you can check out once you return, you know, that. And I know you've been hearing a lot from her. So I appreciate that you guys are working on that. Some people, I think, were upset about that. So I just go back to saying, like, look at the current climate and things that are going on and, you know, our role in protecting, you know, patron privacy and access sometimes means a little less access for us, which is frustrating, but, you know, it's for the greater good.
Well, we already had a school staff member reach out to us. Well, I can't see what's at the public library, what they're checking out at the public library. Yeah, you shouldn't. That's not for you to know. So, again, that was just kind of realizing that this was something that, again, that we should have been doing all along. And it just, one of those things that just kind of got missed and overlooked. So we're definitely correcting that. Dina, did you have any other things that you wanted to mention for your update?
Only other thing that jumps out at me, a couple of my team members did, we've been revamping. I don't know if you remember the old, Esther probably remembers the old, when Polaris first came on, the old flip chart for basic circulation. And there was one for LEAP that was really dated. We revamped both of those. It's just basic circulation, and it would be great for new employees. There's one for using LEAP and one for using Polaris. They have been finalized. They've gone through our final proofing. We are now just waiting to get a quote for printing. So we do have those available. I can send them to you electronically if there's, you know, if you've got a new employee that just really needs a little bit of extra, help with one of those, we could do that. And especially if someone's a visual learner like myself. So we've been working on that for the last several months, but we are one step away from getting them out. But if anybody needs an electronic version, just let me know and I can send you an electronic, and then, you know, you could print them as needed. But other than that, I think that's it on my end.
Thanks, Dina. Any questions for Dina? Okay, and then I will turn it over to Jen.
Thanks, Kathy. Hi, everyone. So the biggest thing now that the bibliographic, or I can talk today, the barcode refresher training has been approved. We're going to really finalize all of that and then start emailing directors, hopefully the second to last week in February, with the list of staff that currently has barcoding permission, so we can get that cleaned up as well and get that list reduced from about 2,000 down to a more manageable amount. However, if you do have other staff that you would like to do barcoder training, I'll also include the list, the form, and you can get that to us and we can get them started on that process. We are starting to bring back more in-person training. Our first one will be an accelerated barcoder training at Chatham Area Public Library on February 28th. And then we're also going to be doing barcoding one and two via Zoom in March, and then a reports class on February 23rd. Our hope is to have more and more of it once we hit the new fiscal year, and then try to tailor it or set it up where it's available in near Champaign, near Carbondale, near Edwardsville, so we can make sure libraries further out have an easier time getting to us and us to them. I believe that's all I have, though.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Jennifer? Okay. All right, now we have the committee updates. First, we have Donna with the BIB Services and Cataloging Standards.
I don't know if I have much to add past what Jennifer just said. We'll be working on that training. You know, we've been trying to add some different things, like we passed the local authors update, where if you have a work that's been given to you by a local author, you can actually put in subject fields and stuff like that to identify that. And it was really ironic. I actually had to do original cataloging on a local author book, and I got to use that field for the first time the other day. So, and then it checked out right away. So I was really excited about that. other than that, I think we're just, you know, working on that training and getting that solidified and how that's going to proceed. So.
Okay. Any questions for Donna? Then I'll turn it over to Esther with the Circulation and Resource Sharing Committee.
Okay. Well, Dina covered a big chunk of what we discussed in our last meeting with the Polaris logins. We've also been having some discussion about payment of fines, collection of the vote to talking about non-fine collecting libraries, collecting fines for fine collecting libraries. If that isn't confusing enough. So we worked together to get that policy put together, basically to not waive another library's fines. Standing policy throughout has been, you know, and don't mess with another library's patrons blocks or renewals or, you know, all of that. So we're just kind of keeping with that. Again, issue of paying for lost books always kind of comes up. A lot of libraries wait for an invoice and some libraries don't invoice. So general rule of thumb is if you have a book that was somebody else's, was lost and paid for, send them the money. Because libraries like mine, we don't charge another library. We'll take the money if your patron pays, but we're not going to make you pay if your patron doesn't pay, because that's just kind of our cost of doing business. So some libraries wait for it and others. So it's just kind of clarifying general money-related stuff.
I had a question, Esther, for you. What Dina's doing with permissions, will that help solve some of those problems where, like, we won't be able to get into other libraries' patrons' blocks, for example? If
it will to some degree. Dina could probably answer this better, but some of that will fall in there. If you can't see a patron record, you can't do anything to it. But right, there is a lot of that information that's tied to the item record. Mm-hmm. Things can kind of be done the way that Polaris compartmentalizes functions, that sometimes there may be a workaround that we don't realize, but theoretically it should limit a lot of that. I won't guarantee 100%.
Okay, any other questions for Esther? All right. Then we have Miranda with Finance and Policy.
Okay, well, you made my life pretty easy because everything we've talked about in the meeting has pretty much been in finance and policy, so this should go pretty smoothly. We did obviously have the financial statement review that we always have. Some of these numbers get to be large and daunting, but some of them are kind of interesting. So I will read. $1,394,267 has been billed, which accounts for 92% of the total budgeted revenues. Of that, 99% has been collected. And then the Illinois funds that we've talked about in the past, that seems to be going really well because we've gotten $7,611 in interest income in December. And the total earned for fiscal year 2023 for the reserve account is now $26,087, which has far surpassed the budgeted amount of $675. So we're doing really well there. So that's really interesting. And then we talked about the financial approval procedures, which we already voted on today, so I don't need to go over that. And then the Scott Air Force Base membership, don't have to talk about that because we already discussed it. We did do some fee review that we always did, but we haven't voted on anything, so there's nothing to really tell you about that. And then we also talked about a policy proposal for Polaris logins for volunteers, board members, that kind of thing. So that discussion continued. Any questions?
Great. Thank you so much, Miranda.
You're welcome.
Okay. And we, Kyla, for e-resources committee, I don't think we've had a meeting. Our next one will be in March.
Right. Yeah. So I have nothing to share with the group at this time.
I'll look for that date just in case anybody is interested in attending.
I believe it's the 27th.
Yeah, the 27th at 3 p.m. And with that, internally, I can share that we've been talking a lot about our cloud library fees as well. And so one of the things we've been discussing is the cost of the pay-per-use for e-audio. And so we will be allowing libraries to add funds for development for the cloud library collection to reduce hold times. So if that's something you're interested in, it will be on the annual agreement this year. Okay, any other questions for any of our committee chairs? Okay, do we have any public comment? Or any announcements? Okay, so our
question about LEAP, and I don't know that this is really executive council business or anything. I'm curious when the reports function is going to show up on LEAP. If anybody knows.
I haven't heard that they, I know that they've been.
That's a good question. I asked our account rep or whatever she is about it. And she says she did know that it was, they are working on it, but they don't have a date for it yet. So, and I've looked at, they have a roadmap of upcoming things and kind of some of the things they're working on. And I pull that up randomly and I have yet to see the word reports on that. So for right now, any of those specialized reports, you're still going to have to just go back into Polaris if you're a LEAP user.
Okay, thank you.
I still think it'll be before acquisitions.
You know, I don't look, acquisitions and I really don't get along. We don't play well together. So it kind of like cereals, but that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
I'll have to look and see if they have anything on there about acquisitions.
So I can actually speak to that. IUG has their conference coming up in May. And I happen to be looking at today, there's a pre-conference where they're going to be talking about technical services and LEAPs, and they dropped the word acquisition. Okay. So it may be coming sooner rather than later. So
yeah. It'll get there someday. Yeah. Maybe. Someday.
But I may have more information for you in May.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, so our next meeting, we had listed Thursday, April 6th, but it's actually going to be April 20th, 2023 at 2 p.m., as long as everyone is available that day. And then our next regular meeting will be June 1st, Thursday, June 1st at 2 p.m. Okay. Well, thank you all so much. I will turn it back over to Sarah to finish us up.
Okay. We don't have to vote to adjourn, do we? Mm-mm. All right. Then I'll call the meeting to a close at 3:01. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.